I want to continue this series on the paramis, and we'll talk about the last one today, which is equanimity. And I call it how to see a rainbow. And to see a rainbow, you have to be in the right position between the rain and the sun, and the position is right in between. And with the sun behind you and a rain cloud ahead of you, you can see a rainbow. And equanimity is this quality of seeing a rainbow in relation to feeling tone, in relation to pleasant and unpleasant. We stand kind of equally between them. So I will say more about this. The paramis, if you're new to the Thursday morning, is a set of qualities, of heart qualities, really relational qualities, that kind of the awake heart, we abide in these qualities. And the theory is in the tradition that the Buddha to be, the Bodhisattva, over many lifetimes perfected these 10 heart qualities, and they really supported his awakening. And the 10 paramis are generosity, morality, renunciation, wisdom, effort, patience, truthfulness, resolve, loving kindness, and equanimity. So I like to say that 2,500 years ago, on the night of his enlightenment, the Buddha sat under a tree and solved your problem. He solved my problem. He solved all of our problems. And what is your basic problem? Our problem, all of our problems, and the Buddha's problem too, is that we only know how to be happy if we're having a pleasant experience. But this is only one flavor of feeling tone. Feeling tone also is unpleasant or neutral. So we're really only happy with one slice of the pie of life, the pleasant. We don't know how to be happy when it's unpleasant or neutral. But reality requires this. If we want to be happy no matter what, we have to know how to be happy when it's unpleasant. We have to know how to be happy when it's neutral. And every single sense experience we have, which means every experience, has this quality of feeling tone. Every thought is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Every sound, sight, smell, taste, touch. So, and the thing about feeling tone is it flows, because our experience flows, our experience actually changes so quickly. And we have this idea that we can, if we just align every condition correctly, we will park in a pleasant park where everything is pleasant. But that's not reality. Reality is that we do land in pleasant places, but then things change. I spent much of my life, you know, in my recreation, my passion was playing soccer until age 55, my knees finally wouldn't let me do it anymore. And I was always like, you know, pretty good soccer player, not great, but really enjoyed it and played it really almost my whole life, starting at age 12. And I had one peak experience where in a playoff final, I scored a hat trick. And it was an amazing moment of my life. One of my teammates even came up to me and he said something along the lines of like, "I'm in awe of you," or something like that. And I'd never received that kind of attention before on the soccer field. And it was just one of those days. All the conditions aligned. And, you know, I just felt, you know, on cloud nine. And then we all went out to a bar afterwards. And, you know, after about 30 minutes, nobody paid attention to that anymore. It, you know, it was this peak experience, all conditions aligned for once in my entire, whatever, 30, 40 years of playing soccer. So that was great. But then it didn't last. So Buddhism is all about a happiness that lasts. And the fundamental issue is feeling tone. What's so amazing about Buddhist practice, and you know it comes from a really wise mind because he takes the incredible complexity of reality and boils it down to something very, very simple. And the basic issue is our relationship with feeling tone. Notice I don't say the issue is feeling tone. It's our relationship with it. Our relationship is reactive. We resist the unpleasant, we try to grab the pleasant, and we ignore the neutral. And the Buddha said that reactive relationship with feeling tone is the cause of our suffering. That's the second noble truth. He called it craving. Tanha is the Pali word. So is it possible to actually have a non-reactive relationship with feeling tone? It is. And we can call that non-reactive relationship equanimity. Equanimity is the radical okayness in the midst of feeling tone doing its dance. Feeling tone always changes. Equanimity is being okay. It's actually standing there between the sun and the rain, and it's magical. It's amazing that we could be equanimous, be actually okay, whether our experience is pleasant or unpleasant or neutral. So it truly is a rainbow of the heart. And again, feeling tone, you never get out of it. A fully enlightened being still experiences feeling tone. No matter how rich, how famous, how talented, you know, how successful you are in your career or your life, every day is still going to be pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. You can read many, many quotes about rich and famous people talking about, you know, the unhappiness of their lives. Conditions don't ever line up to always be pleasant. So we work on our relationship with feeling tone. Feeling tone is a fact and always changes. What is an equanimous relationship with it? Or, well, I've said that. How do we get there? We get there through mindfulness. Essentially, what we do with mindfulness is we replace being reactive to feeling tone with being curious about it. So we all know this from our practice. There's knee pain or, you know, foot pain, pain somewhere in the body. And instead of moving, we decide to get curious about it. Oh, what's this knee pain actually like? And we just notice. You know, our normal is approach is like, oh my God, knee pain, I have to move, I can't do this, I'm gonna get injured if I sit this way, you know, I'm aging or whatever, I'm not aging, but you know, or I'm young, but I still can't stand this knee pain. With practice, we learn this incredible lesson that is actually we can stand it. And the gold is that we become curious. And we could actually sum up the entire path of practice as this simple sentence. The essence of our practice is replacing reacting to feeling tone with being curious about it. This awareness of feeling tone is so important. The Buddha codified it as one of the four arenas of mindfulness. The four foundations of mindfulness, the Buddha instructed, he's going to kind of divide up reality into some basic areas that we should pay attention to. The first is the physical world, the body and the physical world outside of us, everything physical. That seems like an obvious arena for mindfulness. The second obvious arena is everything mental. So our mind, our emotions, our thoughts, our memories. And then a third obvious arena is to actually see the basic structure of the Dharma teachings in our experience, starting with the five hindrances, you know, going all the way up to through the six factors of enlightenment and the four noble truths. And we need to be mindful of all of how all of that operates in our experience. So we've got body, we've got mind, and then we've got the Buddhist understanding of reality. Those are the three arenas of mindfulness the Buddha pointed us to. The fourth, all these three are like content, are things that are happening in our experience. But the fourth is process. The fourth is really, what is your experience like? What's the nature of it? And the fourth foundation or arena of mindfulness is feeling tone. So in everything mental, in everything physical, we want to notice the feeling tone of it. It's that important that it's one of the four foundations of mindfulness. And when we notice it, we back ourselves into equanimity. Just, you know, we sit there with an itch, maybe, or knee pain. And instead of moving or instead of scratching the itch, we just get curious about it. What's it actually like? And we feel it. Oh, it's unpleasant. But let me keep feeling it. I'm just going to keep being interested in what it's like. And then lo and behold, we actually learn, oh, you know what? This is bearable. I can actually feel it and know what it's like. And the curiosity itself seems to take me out of resistance and into acceptance. And so if you just take that little microcosm of practice, a little example, and then think about, you know, really getting good at that, meditating more and more, becoming more and more mindful, then we start to be able to play with feeling tone and have equanimity in our thoughts, images, our relations with people. We start to notice, oh, this is unpleasant. In fact, it's not a catastrophe. What's happening between me and my teenage daughter? It's unpleasant. The mind says catastrophe. But if you can just say unpleasant, it de-escalates things, because that's the nub of it. Our nervous system reacts to feeling tone. And it does that out of habit, out of being unconscious. But when we're conscious, we can shift our relationship with feeling tone. And the golden question, the key, is to go from like, oh no, or oh, I want this and I'm grabbing it, to go from that to this golden question, what's it actually like? What's it like when I feel irritated or frustrated with my teenage daughter? Oh, what's it like when I'm irritated? What's it like in the body? What's it like in the mind? And this is mindfulness. So when we get really, really good at mindfulness, we become more and more equanimous. And we're able to really, it's like the turbulent waters of our mind kind of settle. And then we start to be able to see clearly what's in the water. So equanimity really allows us to see clearly. And then we just kind of do what we have to do in life without such a fuss. So may today be a day for you of seeing rainbows, sitting there in that place of mindfulness where you can be okay, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. So I will stop there.